The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we affectionately call Human. I'm Jim Nickens, and I'm pleased to be here as your worship associate this morning. On behalf of the Reverend Dave Dunn, Alex Peach, our music director, and Ayanna Coffey, our director of religious exploration and membership coordinator, I welcome you. Special thanks to the streaming team for our first streaming service from the sanctuary. Fingers crossed. And an extra special thanks to Johnny Tangney, who's been remarkably generous with his time and seems to have a never-ending supply of patience. We are a liberal religious community guided by seven principles, which you can find on our website. Our vision is to be a vital, invisible community for all, bravely working toward the day when social, economic, and environmental justice is a reality. Imagine a spiritual community where diversity is celebrated and all are welcome, where children are taught to love, not fear, where different beliefs are considered strength. Whatever path you're on, wherever your journey is taking you, whoever you love, you are welcome here just as you are. Next Sunday, August 22nd at 2 p.m., we will have a congregational meeting to reveal our planning and planning the future results. You can read more about it in the newsletter. A link for the Zoom meeting will be sent later this week via Human Announcements. It will also be on the website later this week. There's still a lot going on and a lot for you to do. Please check the calendar on the website and check human announcements. There's also a list of chores that await us on the human campus. If you have a few hours, we can find something for you and your family to do. Now calm your mind, settle your spirit, open your heart, and let us worship together.
I'm Ayana Kafi. Among other things, I'm Human's membership coordinator. If you're new today, we'd love the opportunity to welcome you personally. Take a moment to visit our website at human.org. There, on our homepage, you'll find our online visitor form. After filling it out, one of the amazing members of the membership team will connect you with people of similar interests. You can also join us after service at Coffee and Conversation or Religious Exploration. You can reach us at membership@human.org. We'd love to answer any questions that you have about Human.
Good morning. It's great to be here live streaming this morning. Peng Young said, how difficult the practice is. How difficult. My practice, it's like drying the fibers of 10,000 pounds of flax by hanging them in the sun. To this, his wife responded, easy, easy, easy. The practice, it's like touching your feet to the ground when you get out of bed. I found the teaching right in the tops of flowering plants. Again, good morning. Let us light our chalice together. We light this flame as a reminder of our mission of being of light in the world. In unity with those who came before us, with whom we are a spiritual family, we shall be able to commit to building of a community of free faith beyond the geographical limits and personal beliefs. May we be a shelter to all who need it most. Amen.
This is my cane. Its height is adjustable. It's gold, one of my favorite colors to wear. It folds down so it can easily fit in my purse. The summer after I turned 17, I played what I recall to be a 100-person game of capture the flag at mountain camp. I had successfully taken the flag and was running at top speed toward the boundary line. I was being pursued by a friend who seemed as tall as a building, but somehow he hadn't caught me. Without warning, when my left foot hit the ground, my left knee went out and I fell flat. The person chasing me, seemingly overtaken by guilt, paused the game and carried me to the counselors. I saw the in-town doctor who found swelling, but not anything that would actually lead to my knee going out. However, I still couldn't move without support. This was the time in my life that I was a beginning walker. In the last 19 years, I've had more knee injuries than I can count. I'm so used to being a beginning walker, dancer, and yogi that it's become my lifestyle. This is my cane. I'm happy when I'm using it because it's beautiful, dependable, and it helps me when my body is acting as leader and my mind is acting as follower. Can you think of any way that you are always learning? Something in your life that you may never master, but are willing to keep doing?
When we share our lives together, we strengthen the bonds of our community. Now's the time for joys and sorrows. I want to drop a pebble for the people of Afghanistan. Let's keep them in our minds as they struggle with the transition to Taliban rule. Please say a prayer for the people in Haiti who suffered a devastating earthquake yesterday. It's with great sorrow that we report the passing of Reverend Paul Daniel, who served as human minister from 2009 to 2013. Additional information will be in human announcements. I'm going to drop another pebble for those joys and sorrows left unsaid. Let's keep each other in our hearts this week. If you have something you want to share, there'll be an extended musical interlude now, and you can enter what's on your mind in the chat window. In 1959, at age 55, Zen monk Shunryu Suzuki left Japan to become the abbot of the Zen temple in San Francisco. The temple primarily served older Japanese residents who had migrated to the Bay Area. Suzuki quickly adjusted to the culture of the United States and remarked, "If I'd known it would be like this, I would have come here sooner." He eventually founded the San Francisco Zen Center and began instructing primarily Americans who were becoming interested in Zen. The Zen Center flourished, and Suzuki eventually became the abbot of the first Zen training monastery outside of Asia. In 1970, he published Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, a book that became possibly the most influential Zen book of Zen instruction in the West. I have come to destroy your mind.
I have come to destroy your idea of getting anything out of this service.
I have come to destroy your idea of learning anything.
I have come to destroy your idea of attaining wisdom.
I have come to destroy your idea of attaining enlightenment.
I have come to destroy your idea of becoming a better person.
I have come to destroy your idea of freeing yourself.
I have come to destroy your idea of nurturing your spirit.
I have come to destroy your idea of striving for justice.
I have come to destroy your idea of transforming the world.
Suzuki says, "Our egoistic ideas are delusions, covering our Buddha nature. We are always creating and following them over and over again. Our lives become completely occupied by ego-centered ideas. This is called karmic life. The Buddhist life should not be karmic life. The purpose of our practice is to cut off the karmic spinning mind. The only way to understand Buddha nature is to just practice zazen, sitting meditation, just to be here as we are. If you want to understand it, you cannot understand it. When you try to give up trying to understand it, true understanding is always there."
So if you want to understand it, you cannot understand it. When you try to give up trying to understand it, true understanding is always there. That's some catch, that Catch-22. In Joseph Heller's World War II novel, Catch-22, pilots who were crazy did not have to fly bombing missions. And anyone would be crazy to fly them. But if you said that you were crazy and therefore should be exempt from flying them, it was proof that you weren't crazy and therefore had to fly them. Yes, that is some catch, that Catch-22. Similarly, if you want to understand Buddha nature, you cannot understand it. When you try to give up trying to understand it, true understanding is always there. So the only way to understand Buddha nature, though I don't want to understand it, is just to practice zazen, sitting meditation. So, okay, how does that work? What does sitting meditation accomplish?
Suzuki says, "In our practice, we have no particular purpose or goal, nor any special object of worship. Whatever it is, if your practice is directed towards some particular object, it will not always work. But if you understand the secret of our practice, it will work. Wherever you go, no matter what the situation, our way is not to sit to acquire something, but just to remain on our cushion without expecting anything."
So, don't expect anything? But there's a secret to it, you said. So what is the secret?
If you want to know the secret, Suzuki says you should practice with proper posture and breathing. We are not so concerned about deep understanding of Buddhism. Proper breathing and posture, not a means of obtaining the right state of mind. To breathe and take this posture itself is the purpose of our practice. When you have this posture, you have the right state of mind. So there is no need to try to attain some special state.
So they are not concerned about a deep understanding of Buddhism, but simply to breathe and take this posture itself? That the posture itself is the purpose of the practice? Posture? Seriously? How could posture be the purpose? That sounds entirely misdirected.
Suzuki says that when you are doing zazen, sitting meditation, you are within the complete calmness of your mind. You do not feel anything. You just sit. But the calmness of your sitting will encourage you in your everyday life. So actually, you will find the value of Zen in your everyday life rather than while you sit. Even though you do not feel anything when you sit, if you do not have this zazen experience, you cannot find anything. You just find weeds or trees or clouds in your daily life. You do not see the moon. This is why you are always complaining about something.
So our ideas, goals, initiatives can clutter our inherent nature, distancing us from our very selves as we egotistically and endlessly pursue these things and trying to understand and make meaning of it all along the way as we go. And when we do this, we end up further and further from ourselves. We increasingly get frustrated and dissatisfied. Could this possibly lead to a sense of despair and meaninglessness in our lives? The Zen spiritual practice, zazen, sitting meditation, has no point to it. It's not directed towards any goal. It's not directed toward acquiring anything. It's not even directed toward acquiring a state of enlightenment. The secret of Zen practice, its purpose, is simply to sit. Simply to sit in the proper form, in proper breathing. To do this properly means you are already in the right state of mind. And you can carry this right state of mind with you when you're done sitting into the rest of your life.
Yes, Bodhidharma said, in order to see the fish, you must watch the water.
I think I get it. In order to clearly see the true fish, you must watch the water. In order to clearly see true life, to see things as they are in the world, you must watch with a clear, settled mind. The mind is the water. In sitting meditation, you're watching your mind, knowing your mind, clearing and stilling your mind.
Yes, and when you know your mind, you become you, your true self, your Buddha nature. Suzuki says, when you are you, then no matter what you do, that is zazen. When you are you, zazen becomes true zazen. So when you practice zazen, your problem will practice zazen, and everything else will practice zazen too. But when you do not practice true zazen, then there is yourself. And there is your problem. Each quite different, quite separate from each other.
Again, it takes no practice. To practice zazen, it takes just proper breathing and proper posture. That's the point. This is the proper state of mind. It doesn't take any learning. It doesn't take any knowledge of Buddhism or Zen. It doesn't take a master's of divinity It's like touching your feet to the floor as you get out of bed. It is light, easy, like a cool breeze.
Yes, it's actually an advantage not to know all the book learning, to have all the degrees. An expert's mind is always full of preconceived ideas, theories, and notions. It's an advantage to have a beginner's mind. Suzuki says, "Why should we always live in the dark, empty sky? There was always the possibility of understanding as long as we exist in the utter darkness of the sky, as long as we live in emptiness. And when we have emptiness, we are always prepared for watching the flashing. The mind of the beginner in the dark, empty sky." Suzuki student Richard Baker put it this way: "The mind of the beginners is empty, free of the habits of the expert, ready to accept, to doubt, and open to all possibilities. It is the kind of mind which can see things as they are, which step by step and in a flash can realize the original nature of everything."
So, in a way, with the beginner's mind and with the proper practice, breathing, and posture, there would be no ideas of nurturing, striving, transforming. All our actions would be like ordinary flashes in the dark sky, actions of spirit, actions of justice, actions of the world.
There, now your mind is destroyed. In an effort to fulfill and further the vision and mission of this congregation, we ask that our members and friends bring forth and share their many and varied gifts. This morning's offering will now be received using the Givelify app. Thank you. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we meet again.
Alex, for an out-of-tune piano, you were killing it today. Thank you so much. It was awesome to hear that live. And a special thanks to our stream team, our dream team in the back. Shinryo Suzuki says, "We must have a beginner's mind, free from possessing anything. A mind that knows everything is flowing in change. Nothing exists but momentarily in its present form and color. One thing flows into another and it cannot be grasped. Before the rain stops, we hear a bird. Under the heavy snow, we see snowdrops and some new growth. In the east, I saw rhubarb already. In Japan, in the spring, we eat cucumbers. Go in peace. Enjoy your week."